Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings. Postmodern Tour.
Upon me. Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host, Tom Lieberg, and glad to have you along for the journey. I'm doing something a little different today, and you probably pick it up in the sound quality. I've been listening to Leonard Sweet's Napkin Scribbles. If you haven't come across Leonard Sweet before, he likes to use the term church futurist to describe himself. He's an author, former pastor, comes out of the Methodist tribe. But I think he has some of the best insights in how the culture has changed and the ways in which the church is being called to change with it, which for many of those within the whole church system and denominations sounds like absolute heresy, that somehow the church has to become more like the culture. It sounds like a sellout. Well, Len does a podcast called Napkin Scribbles, and with all the traveling that he does nationally, doing conferences and consultations and such, his approach to podcasting has been to take a digital recorder like I'm using right now, and when he has a few minutes free in an airport or hotel room or waiting in line, he'll pull out the recorder and do a napkin scribble on whatever happens to be on his mind. I've been going through a backlog of napkin scribbles because right now I'm on my way to Chicago for a board meeting. I've mentioned before on the podcast my good friend Pastor John Armstrong, who does the Act 3 ministry podcast. I happen to be on his board, and our annual board meeting is coming up, so I'm going to spend a few days back in Chicagoland. So right now I'm driving on the Ohio Turnpike on my way into Indiana, heading back to those old stomping grounds. I thought, while I'm on the way, let's give a Wired Jesus podcast a try, a la napkin scribbles. A couple of things in listening to some of these napkin scribbles that Len has done has gotten me thinking. The one I just listened to most recently, and I'm listening to some back from November and December, because he makes the observation that at one time the church was the most creative outlet within culture. You go back to the time of the Renaissance, and if you were a poet, if you were a sculptor, if you were a painter, the church is where you wanted to be. Well, certainly part of it was because the church had the power, the church had the cash, the church had the best educated people who could appreciate what they were producing, these artists. But on the other hand, it was seen as still being done to the glory of God to influence, change, and reach culture with a spiritual reality that, despite the prominence of the church, wasn't always a living reality. You know, you're living as a peasant in a hut, the break in which worship provides, in which you enter a house filled with magnificent music and art and sights and sounds and scents, took you to a place of hope, took you to a place of community that was the cornerstone of medieval and Renaissance society. Now, the observation is the church is no longer that. As I mentioned in my previous podcast on Christian music that doesn't suck, what we do in the church seems to always be perceived and quite often in actuality really is second rate. Musically, like I said a while back, Christian music carries this derogatory connotation that, well, I do Christian music because I couldn't cut it in the real world of music. I couldn't make it on the pop charts or country or whatever, so I'll settle for doing, Christian music. One phrase I remembered using back in the 80s was, second-rate musicians with third-rate lyrics. But the same is true if you look at the church in general. Our worship music is a good 30 years behind, whether it is quote-unquote contemporary or if we're still pounding out the tunes on the old pipe organ. Considering that there isn't a single channel out there on the radio or Sirius that does organ music 24/7 anymore. Not that there ever really was. But the same's true of our conversations, our moral deliberations. My tribe, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is getting ready to do its biannual beat-up of itself in discussing issues of human sexuality and homosexuality. And it's the whole conversation is largely met with, if not bemused puzzlement, downright derision by the rest of the culture as to why these issues of gays and lesbians being in, blessed relationships or partnered gays and lesbians serving as pastors in congregations. There's something of amusement over that, much like it was 20 years ago where the conversation was still going on about, shall there be women pastors? Our denomination muddled its way through that, and now it's muddling its way through this one and somehow searching that God is still involved in the midst of the agendas and the clash between the church that was and the church that is yet becoming. But going back to what Len was talking about, creativity, that seems to be lacking across the board. Pastoral development is one that he frequently has to wrestle with. Ministry has a tendency to create, to attract very creative people. And then comes the harsh reality that creativity is not really a welcome partner in the life of most congregations. There is a certain template of expectations that are expected to be met, and that's the pattern you go with. Anything outside the box tends to be punished or ignored. And yet there is still this wailing and gnashing of teeth, to use an old biblical phrase, as to why churches, particularly established churches, seem to be either stuck in a rut and not growing, or in the case of most of them, dying. And so there's this protest that goes on that, we need to be faithful to our tradition and who we are, and we aren't going to be like that other church across town, which typically involves. We aren't going to be like that church across town that's growing, because that scares the living daylights out of us, and we know people over there because they left our place already. Recently, I was just accepted into a program that is somewhat attached to our denominational tribe, and I'll put a link on the website for it, called the Transforming Leaders Initiative. It kind of was birthed out of the Transformational Leaders Gathering that I used to lead down in Orlando, and the Wired Jesus blog used to host their annual announcements for their webpage and that. And that gathering was finally put to rest last year. There were too many complications trying to continue to put it off without incorporating, and there really wasn't any interest or sufficient funds to do that. But the Transforming Leaders Initiative is to try and find within our denomination some of the best and brightest and most creative among us who are in settings where the congregations are willing to learn creativity in outreach and in inviting people to be part of, you know, this journey with Jesus. It's the type of thing Len keeps talking about and looking for. The balance always is, you know, how much it becomes institutionalized, because once that starts to happen, then, well, it loses its creativity. As several of my colleagues are fond of saying, creativity and change happens on the fringes, not in the core, or from the top, for that matter. But TLI, I think, represents one way in which we're hoping to find change in the church. But yeah, it happens in small bits and pieces. And if you are a pastor person, I think you'll enjoy listening to Len's napkin scribbles. Because of some of the things he said and written and so forth, he's kind of on the outside, because his position is we need to learn from culture. We particularly need to learn from our kids. You know, that dividing line, if you were born, you know, since 1964 to 1967, take your pick. Been born after that, you are a native to this digital world that predominates now in the 21st century. If you were born prior to that, you're an immigrant. You don't speak the language natively. You don't understand the culture natively. You have to work hard to understand the new rules for creating relationships, for communicating. Len's little test that I really like is you can always tell the native between the difference between a native and an immigrant is how they text message. Immigrants, if they know how to text message, will use their pointer finger on their keypad to type out a text message, and they'll have to look at it the whole time. A native, we can hold our cell phone in one hand and be texting with our thumb while at the same time carrying on a conversation with someone else, or while we're driving. Not necessarily the safest way to thing to do, but hey, it is the reality nonetheless. The church needs to go native. We have been immigrant-led for so long, and if you look at even within our Lutheran tradition, that's exactly what our history. We were an immigrant church and came to this country, and for decades clung to speaking our worship services in German or Swedish or whatever Northern European language we brought with us. And then, right around World War II, push came to shove, and our offspring didn't want to worship in German anymore. Most of them didn't speak it. They didn't understand what was going on. And they went to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and said, we would like to be able to worship God in our own language rather than just yours. End result was, some churches switched and started doing English. Others split, and the kids moved down the street and built another church. And grandma and grandpa's congregation, well, quite often they died. There are little congregations dotting northwestern Ohio here where I'm dying or driving where that is exactly what happened. The same shift has to happen today. And in the podcast that's going to follow this, I'm going to talk a little bit about Rob Bell. We use his Pneuma series here at the church where I serve for our Lenten services back in February and March. And it reaffirmed something that I discovered several years ago, is that Rob understands the digital culture, but he also understands the human heart and is probably the consummate evangelist of the first part of the 21st century. When you have 80-year-old widows coming up wanting to borrow the DVD for Rain and wanting to share that with their friends and hoping I will use it again in worship sometime soon. At the same time, I have 20 and 30-somethings offering to buy the whole set for the church for the very same reasons. You found someone who matches Len's template of being able to speak the gospel. Oh, hang on here. I'm in the construction zone, so you're going to hear a little rumble. There we go. Of, where this creativity needs to happen and how we begin to engage the culture without selling out who we are. Well, I probably rambled for a little while here, and I'm coming up here in Indiana here shortly, so I'm going to have to get out some change and pay a toll, so I think I'll wrap this up. But it's been a while since I've gotten a Wired Jesus podcast out there, and continuing to work to get more out. You know, summer is coming up, Easter is past, and like I said, I've got this Rob Bell script almost done and in the can, so in the next couple of weeks we'll get that out. Well, let me know what you think of the napkin scribble approach, but do check out Len's podcast. It's there on iTunes, Napkin Scribbles with Len Sweet. And, thank you for listening to Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.